From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. We bumped Jeffrey Wright up a day today, so we will talk to Jeffrey here in a bit on the show. We'll discuss the timing of the NCAA situation with the FBI in basketball. We'll talk golf. We'll finish up our three-part series on Patrick Reed. We'll talk some NBA and more with Jeffrey. He's hosting the Eric Hasseltine Show today from 2 to 4, so you can support him there as well. 92.9 in Memphis. Someone said 95. That is not right. It is 92.9. And in Memphis, the podcast here brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Get that bottomless refill cup. You get a fountain drink, 49 cents. Whenever you need it, stay hydrated. Stay quenched with your thirst. There with the Oxford Exxon. Again, ribs, lunch specials, $4.99. And more. They like fours and nines. 49 cent refills, $4.99 lunch specials there with the Oxford Exxon. Was it Ben number 48 in college? Could go 480, 489.
Not sure.
Somewhere.
Trevor Bauer with Cleveland likes the number 69.
Nice. Yep. Also, in the Clark Ford studio, Neil. So tell them about that.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number call. That number asked for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. That simple. It's all you have to do. He'll take care of the rest. He'll go do a little research. He'll bring you a quote. You'll get the quote within 15 minutes. It's that simple. And then from there, it's up to you. Ball's back in your court. You can shop it around as much as you'd like. That's your prerogative. Or, pardon me, you can let the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast. And that is take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You'll get a great product, no haggling, delivery options, whatever you're looking for, they can take care of it. Whatever your specific request might be, they can help you with that as well. That's just, they do great business at Clark Ford. You get a great product, great service after the sale. We'll make it even better. Tell Corey at the end of the deal, say, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our podcasts, the Beer Garden, the Soft Herbal, the
Greatest Pod in the South.
Greatest Pod in the South. I'm getting old. Presented by Cathead Distilleries. We're taping that one today. Taping Soft Herbal and Beer Garden tomorrow. So there's a lot of podcasting going on. Mention any of them. $500 off the bottom line on your deal at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
Ole Miss baseball last night. Went to Pearl. Got back on the winning track, beating the Golden Eagles 11-3 last night. Had a six-run second inning.
I was really surprised when I think about it. I was surprised they were able to overcome the emotion of losing the in-state series because so many of
them. You really let it beat, you know, you're surprised they didn't beat them four or five times in a row, frankly.
Yeah. I'm surprised that, you know, because a lot of those Ole Miss kids grew up really engrossed in the Egg Bowl rivalry, which is a direct, you know, the football rivalry and the baseball series are so similar in their emotion and intensity. I was surprised they were able to bounce back so quickly. I thought it spoke volumes.
It was another in-state opponent, though.
That's true. Well,
had it been UT Martin or something, then it's a whole different deal. But you're forgetting it was Southern Miss last night.
Total dropping of the ball at that point.
The Rebels have now beaten Southern Miss four times in a row, five of the last six, swept the season series 2 weeks in a row. You know, it was a top 15 win from a poll standpoint, but the computers hate Southern Miss. Southern Miss at 50 in the RPI, so I'd be curious to see what happens with them selection time, where they get put or sent or whatever happens with them. Because
they're getting sent somewhere.
Yeah, you're not hosting at a 50 RPI, nowhere close to
No, sir, you're not.
You might not be a two seed, so God, I wouldn't want them as my three, though, and a healthy Nick Sandlin. Good grief.
No.
Yeah, that'd be a disaster for maybe even Ole Miss. I mean, they can end up in Oxford.
Well, if you're a team like Southern Miss, what's interesting is going into those deals, and we'll have lots of time to talk about this as we go on.
But
my opinion, you play to win the regional, not to see how far you can go in the regional?
Oh, of course. Losing is losing.
And so if it's me and I have an ace, right, and I'm in a 2-3 game, I know it's suicide, but I don't use him in the 2-3 game. I try to win the 2-3 game and have him go against the 1 on Saturday. Because if he can beat the 1 on Saturday, well, now I've got a chance, because of the way those regionals play out, now I've got a chance to survive. As opposed to pitching him on Friday with the, okay, well, we'd be able to get 4 or 5 innings out of him on Monday on 2 days rest, even though he never does that. And he'll be effective because he just will be, and we believe in it. No. Try to win the series.
Well, you know,
the regional.
In 2013, Mike gets criticized for holding Bobby Wall, but my criticism of Mike was not continuing that strategy. They were in Raleigh. They lost to William and Mary the first day. Mike Myers gets beat. Ole Miss didn't play well. That team wasn't very good, frankly. And Mike panicked a little bit and threw Bobby in game 2 against
the 4. Yeah, and you don't
at
do that.
At that point, you're in or not in with Bobby pitching the next day against whoever that would
right,
be.
So right.
That was the deal. If anything, he was pitching him then. But nonetheless,
he didn't want to get the criticism of losing 2 in a row and not using his ace. Yeah, but you know what, man? I mean, here's the deal. 4 teams show up at those regionals.
They do.
There's 1 winner and 3 losers. It's that simple. Yeah. There's 1 team that takes home the little trophy thingy and gets to move on, and there's 3 teams that get eliminated, and it does not matter in what order you get eliminated.
Yeah, nobody ever goes, well, you know, they finished 2nd in that regional.
Nobody. Or, hey, they finished 3rd. They weren't last. They weren't the first team eliminated. No. They got eliminated 6 hours after the first team. Their season lasted 6 hours longer than Binghamton's.
Yeah.
No one does that. You either win the regional or you lose the regional. And it doesn't matter when you lose the regional.
That's correct. Last night, Houston Roth gave them 5 innings, and they rested the bullpen that needed a lot of rest, threw none of the key relievers last night against Southern Miss. They head to Vandy for a series starting on Friday. Last night, Austin Miller, Jordan Fowler, and Connor Green were the relievers that finished things up. Ole Miss 4-8 in the lineup, went 11-22. And Chase Crockle had a 3-run homer that punctuated that 2nd inning. So played well. Greg Kessinger did not travel to Pearl last night. He has still lingering that hamstring issue. Mike gave him the night off. And he'll play this weekend, I would almost certainly expect. So anyway. Gray didn't travel. He didn't play. Ole Miss wins. They are now 28-6 on the season. They are 21-1 in non-conference play. They're 10-0 in midweek games, and they face the Commodores this weekend. The entire SEC thanks Arkansas, because last night Arkansas had to score 6 runs in the final 2 innings to beat Grambling 7-6. Grambling has a 281 RPI. That would not have helped anyone inside the league last night had the Tigers held on to that.
Yeah, the Grambling Tigers.
There you go.
5 minutes from Ruston.
Are they?
Yeah, 5 minutes. Get on I-20, go west toward Shreveport. First exit, 5 miles.
I was watching that and going, God bless if there's a baseball message board for Arkansas, and oh my God at our message board if Ole Miss was losing to Grambling in the bottom of the 7th with a 281 RPI.
Fire everybody.
It's the perfect baseball thing, though. A Grambling team that gave up like double-digit runs to Kennesaw State all 3 games, shuts down that lineup for 8 innings. It's baseball.
It's baseball.
Yeah.
It's a goofy-ass game.
Yeah.
Basically, and I think most baseball players would agree with this, by this point in the year, the people are – baseball players are weird by this point of the season. Weirder.
Well, I mean, it was Craig Rodriguez's quote back in the day. Something happened for one of his starts, and he walked over and just goes, baseball's a really stupid game. And that's how he opened the press conference.
Well, the Cubs and Pirates played yesterday.
They did.
The Pirates won the game. Francisco Cervelli.
5-5?
5-5. Pirates are 8-2.
Okay.
But the Pirates had, it's like 6 hits on balls hit less than 95 miles an hour. The Cubs had 6 outs on balls hit more than 100 miles per hour. The BABIP gods sometimes just get involved in a game. In other words, sometimes just luck gets involved in a game. You'll see teams hit balls on screws right at people, out. And then you'll see little dinks drop in. guys get fooled and hit dribblers that end up being infield hits.
Over the course of 162, it averages out. It does not always average out over the course of 56.
It doesn't. But it. I've always said, and this is true, you're going to have in the course of a season a couple, three games where you look like the best team in the country, a couple of three games where you look like the worst team in the country, and then there are other games you sort of figure out who you really are. But you are going to have swings in a baseball season. You're going to have games like that first game in Starkville where you look like you don't know how to play. You look like you've never practiced, and you look completely incompetent. And you also have games where you look like, man, those guys, you could put them in a double-A game for a day, and they'd have a shot.
A little bit of news here. Not news, but just a kind of a cool stat involving a friend of the podcast and an Ole Miss alum, Mickey Callaway, the manager of the Mets. They have started 9-1 to their season. Since 1900, there have been four managers to start their managerial careers at 9-1 or better. Two of the four happened in the same night last night. Mickey Callaway, 9-1 with the Mets. Alex Cora, 9-1 with the Red Sox. The other two, Joe Morgan, 1988, 10-0, and Pat Moran in 1915, 9-1. So, four times since 1900, two on the same night.
I don't have the stat in front of me. I wish I did. It would be – I'm looking for it right now if I could find it. It went to the wrong spot. The Mets, I think they're the major league leader in OPS.
Okay.
And of the top six teams in baseball in OPS right now, only one, the White Sox, have a losing record. The other five combined are like, it's like 48-11.
Okay.
In other words, when you put people on base and then you don't strike out a lot and you hit some balls in the gaps.
I was going to bring up something a second ago when we were discussing Babbitt and different things. And now you say this. So make a note of this. Somebody remind me in the morning, tweet at me if Neil doesn't remember because he can't remember the name of his own podcast right now. Kind of get my memory going in this direction tomorrow on this subject. We don't have time for it right now, but I've got something I want to talk to you about this tomorrow.
Okay, sure.
So just mention Babbitt, strikeout, something like that to me tomorrow, and we'll go from there.
And then
go ahead.
And then the other thing that they've done is they really are good at pitching. And when you can throw Noah Syndergaard out there healthy every 5 days and then a healthy Jacob deGrom out there every 5 days, that's game changer. When Matt Harvey doesn't have to be your ace.
Hey, you put guys on base and you pitch well, you're going to win baseball games. Peter Gammons, ladies and gentlemen, over here. Peter Gammons.
But I think my point is that what happens when teams start getting a little confidence, and you pitch well, start putting people on base, people start taking – with the Pirates yesterday, what I noticed was nobody was trying to do too much. Everybody had real solid approach at the plate. They looked like a confident team. You see that in college. You can tell a team that is locked in versus a team that's kind of like kind of fishing, kind of searching. Mm-hmm. You can see it.
All right, so we're gonna go to Jeffrey in a minute, but just as we were hitting the publish button yesterday, Dan Wilkin also hit the publish button for USA Today regarding the Shea Patterson situation. And look, some of this gets a little monotonous because it's the same crap over and over and over again. There's an agenda here. It's clear, it's somewhat amazing that it's allowed, although it gets tons of clicks and retweets and page views because everybody has to keep antagonistically going at him about it. You would be much better off to stop this if you stopped, frankly. But I get it. I understand it. It's frustrating probably for all of you. Here's what struck me, though. As easy as it is to pile on Wilkin, we've been there 7,000 times. You know how we feel. It is what it is. Okay. Bruce Feldman yesterday. Very similar tweet as well, playing off the Dennis Dodd thing about how Ole Miss was trying to block and doing all these negative things. Bruce, one of the more level-headed guys in the business. Bruce, friend of Ole Miss in the past, been very complimentary of Ole Miss, basically was the Ole Miss, for when they did leak some stuff regarding Longo and different people, was Ole Miss's person for that leak, best I could tell. That's what it seemed like. Interesting from this standpoint, Bruce, not an agenda guy, not really a clickbait guy. So why the lack of comprehension on his part of what actually was said or done? Because it was not, It had nothing to do with blocking or accepting or whatever. It had to do with they could not agree with the language that was thrown out there by Patterson and Mars in this request. And because of that, they chose the negative rather than the indifference or whatever. But why the lack of context from somebody like Bruce? And does it, because when I read it, I went, well, you know, look, he's normally pretty good, normally very kind of calm for a sports writer, doesn't go hot takey very much, very just kind of measured. Is that evidence that it's even more so, as we talked about yesterday on Ole Miss, for not leaking things and for putting things from their perspective to try to balance this out?
Yes.
I mean, Bruce is the evidence of this, not Dan, not Dennis.
No. Dan and
but
Dennis.
Bruce is very evident. He's an evidence of this.
Yes. Dan and Dennis are taking marching orders from Tom Marsh, period. I don't know that I believe that Bruce Feldman's taking marching orders from Tom Marsh.
I don't. I know Bruce fairly well, and I don't.
I just don't think that's the case. I think Bruce genuinely believes that Ole Miss should support Shea Patterson and his quest to play immediately. And I don't know why Ole Miss doesn't fight back publicly. I mean, they gave Dan Wolkin a quote yesterday. I don't know why they're not leaking, hey, here's the problem. I saw where Bjork said in the quote to Wolkin that, well, given the way that the language of the thing is written, we have no choice but to...
The quote is, we would not oppose a waiver of the year in residence requirement based on a legitimate reason for any student athlete who wants to transfer from Ole Miss. With the waiver in question, the way it was written, we had no choice but to respond the way we did. With anyone who leaves our program, we wish them the best academically and athletically. At this point, it's not really our matter. It's an NCAA and Michigan matter.
Yeah, you're taking the beating. And what? How was it written? What was written specifically? What was written? What the hell? I mean, are they going to come hammer you for leaking? The NCAA, I don't know if you've noticed, but the NCAA has bigger problems today than whether Ole Miss leaks what the language was on the waiver request.
Tom Morris says he expects a decision next week or the next week, so that's why there's all these PR things right now. He's trying to sway people. This isn't complicated.
He's winning.
Yeah. Well, he's the only one talking. Back to the Patrick Reed conversation we'll have in a minute.
Yeah. He's winning right now. Tom Morris and Shea Patterson in Michigan are winning this PR war.
When there are information vacuums, any noise is that much louder. Anybody talking from either side is that much louder. So that is what happens with Mars. And, I mean, look, when Bruce jumped on, that gave, right or wrong, that gave Mars more credibility.
There's no doubt. There's absolutely.
For anyone that understands the hierarchy of media, that gave him more credibility.
Yeah, Bruce right now is more credible than. I don't know that anyone takes Dodd seriously. And Wolkin has hurt himself with this story because Wolkin, combined with the John Curry thing, Wolkin right now has less credibility than he's ever had.
Well, I mean, in the same day, Wolkin goes on Twitter and says he doesn't understand why the NCAA, the FBI would mess with this basketball thing at all or try to go it, and then use the word crimes in the Ole Miss column. Crimes.
There's nothing resembling a crime.
Unless so the actual
like some tax fraud.
Oh, okay.
But that wouldn't be Ole Miss. That would be on the kids.
It would. Then claim that money.
Yeah.
Whole another bag of worms there. But.
Well, I mean, I'm guessing that this is kind of, and you're going to hear us say this in the interview with Jeffrey. This is my problem with this. It's such a bad look. The worst charge in the Ole Miss case is Leo Lewis received, what was the money? What was the dollar figure?
10, right? A little more than 10.
Let's call
13,
it.
13, something like
let's
that.
Let's call it 15 just for a number.
Have finally forgotten, thank goodness.
Okay. Don't hold me to this number. I'm admitting out loud that I don't know the number. It was no more than 15, am I right? Okay, so let's call it 15. You can't find the money. No one to this day has been able to prove it. I think, if anything, we've been able to probably come closer to disproving it. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'll go there.
But let's say, for kicks and giggles, everybody out there, and you got your red and blue glasses on, you're really worked up right now, let's call it $15,000. There's multiple cases in this basketball thing that is going nowhere where $15,000 is a drop in the bucket.
There's a 90. There's a 40.
It's a six-figure.
Yeah.
It's 100.
Mm-hmm.
So if 15's bad, 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 oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, bad, 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 then what is 90? According to my math, and look, I'm a ULM grad, but that's 600% worse. And yet nothing's going to happen to Kansas. Nothing is going to happen to Kansas.
Well, no, because here's where we talk about this in a minute. And look, the language was like this the first time, too. They're saying the universities are the victims. The FBI is saying the universities are the victims.
Yeah.
That they're being defrauded because the kids can't maintain eligibility, potentially.
I know.
Interesting.
It's a fascinating time, but it's from a credibility standpoint, back to that, is Dan has none right now. Dan, if you're listening and you'd like to come on the podcast and have this argument, you can. You know how to reach me. But Bruce does. Bruce has credibility, and for Bruce to come out like this, to me, it sends a message to Ole Miss. If I'm sitting over there at Ole Miss, I'm like, you know what, we probably ought to. And maybe their attitude is we're letting this go. What difference does it make? We're recruiting well right now. We have a new coach, blah, 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 et cetera. And on many levels, they have a point right there. But at some point, you've got
to
kind of.
They need Shea Patterson to get or not get this thing and move the crap on.
I've said all along, they need to let – if you're Ole Miss, every one of these kids getting their damn waiver and playing is the best thing that could happen. You're not harmed in any way by Shea Patterson taking snaps in Ann Arbor.
No, but I couldn't go, yes, I support everything he said.
No, of course not.
I can't do that now.
Of course not. The answer would have been
– indifference.
Indifference. But the fact that you're saying, no, there's something in this waiver request that we have to fight, but we can't tell you what it is –
what's the last 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever. We're
doing that now. Strategy did not work because nationally, Ole Miss's reputation is of a football program that cheated like hell. That is its reputation to the point that it might as well be true. When in people go, well, did you read the NOA? No, but let me break something, everybody. Nobody's reading that whole NOA. Nobody.
Yeah.
The people that say they read it, they skimmed it. How do I know this? Because I sat there and read the damn thing. And it was unreadable.
And it took hours, whereas multiple media members had all these great takes in 12 minutes. And you go, it's not possible.
And that wasn't possible.
So.
Because I know how long.
They searched for keywords, found sentences, and just went with them.
I read it. It took me 3 hours.
Yeah,
and by the end, Chase, I was skimming. I know I was. I was trying not to, but I was skimming.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to Jeffrey here in a second. I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel, completely free service specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations, taking the stress out of planning, taking care of dining, fast pass reservations, transportation, anything else related to your vacation, get you out of line and onto more rides. You get a $25 gift card for booking a vacation with Brandon. So give him a call, free, no obligation quote, because you know, you're going to take some Disney vacations, might as well let him help you. There is no requirement on your end to pursue it further than a call. It's 901-634-8687, Brandon at keystodreamtravel.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. HarryAlexander.com is the site. Click on the Neighbors and Properties tab at the top left. Filter through by what you are looking for, and then send him an email, ha@HarryAlexander.com. Rebel Nation 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the benefit of home, of the big mega banks, the comfort of home, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Now Jeffrey Wright on the Billy's Pecans hotline. Good morning, Mr. Wright. Good to have you on this Wednesday. We're going to talk a little basketball. We're going to talk some Dan Wolkin, probably, as well. One of the former natives of your city. And we'll lead off, though. Patrick Reed.
Resident.
Resident. Sorry. Not yeah, yeah.
Memphis's own Dan Wolkin.
Resident.
The sign's going to go up, home of Dan Wolkin, right there over the Mississippi, you know, you come in from Arkansas.
No one says Los Angeles native Jeffrey Wright.
Memphis's own Dan Wolkin.
Oh, gosh. All right.
I mean, that's like saying Patrick Reed's from Augusta.
He's from Arkansas, right? Isn't that right? Isn't Dan from Arkansas?
Yeah, Dan's from like...
It's like
somewhere around, I think, like Hot Springs-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the town that Tom forgot when I visited that a couple months ago. Anyway. So Neil has taken an interest in Patrick Reed. His complex story, Neil, appears to be on the positive side of this. However, I am the person talking to him about it. So I'm going to give you a chance because you have been anti-Patrick Reed for a while. You have been very vocal in your distaste for Mr. Reed. So I will cede the floor as to why, in your opinion, Patrick is not being treated unfairly with some of the criticisms and comments from the past week.
Okay, well, I will concede, like, the family stuff is kind of what they use to paint him in the negative light, like, oh, how sad and tragic it is that, you know, he wins the Masters in the town in which his parents live and his parents aren't even on the grounds, and it's just a tragic story. This guy cheated to get into Monday qualifiers, and while I will personally concede that if the collective group of guys that don't like you as professional golfers, that's not exactly in general. That's usually not an indictment on your character, because that's a different group of guys in general. But this guy was like cheating in Monday qualifiers, which means like you're not just like promoting yourself, you're stealing from everyone else that's in the field. Like that's, and it's not like in football for me where, like, all right, you know, let's see how much we can bend the rules. Like, golf has a firm set of rules that everybody has to play by. Like, it's very, very much so. He consistently treats people like crap. You hear a lot of horror stories. And I just always hark back to one of the professional golfers that we know and we know is legitimately a good guy. It's Jonathan Randolph, and Jonathan's never said specifically how he feels. He has told a couple of stories that more or less say how some of the good guys feel, and everyone, whenever Patrick's name comes up, everyone wants to run the other direction, and I think that's partly Augusta and the PGA Tour's doing that. You're not hearing a lot of these stories about Patrick being a cheater, Patrick being a really dishonest guy, and that's largely because the PGA Tour controls their narrative, and more importantly, Augusta doesn't want that narrative out there. I mean, we never heard the war stories of Vijay Singh when Vijay Singh won the Masters, and, you know, it took a lot of other years for lot of that stuff to come to light. He doesn't have a great resume.
All right, two quick things, then we'll get off Patrick Reed. The first one, do you think that the majority of the patrons were aware of any of this, and that's why the cheers were subtle, or do you think it was simply because their favorites were on the losing end of Reed's win?
I personally think it was – I don't know if it's so much that they were aware of everything about Patrick Reed, but I think they were aware we don't like Patrick Reed. Like, I don't know if it's like – if you think about the people that go to Augusta, it's the pretty dedicated golf fan. Like, that's not going to be the same crowd that you see at Phoenix in February. Like,
yeah,
it's the guy, you know, it's the very dedicated, educated, maybe overly so, the golf fan that can tell you about, you know, the shot that Gene Sarazen hit in 1937. When we didn't let pretty much everyone, basically we only let the rich kids play. Like, it's gonna be that fan. So I don't know if it was so much that, like, you could have had someone recite you Patrick Reed's rap sheet after it, but it was definitely a fan that knew, hey, this isn't the guy you want winning the Masters.
All right, last thing on that. If he came to the Jeffrey Wright PR firm and said, I want to fix this, what should he do?
Own it. Own it.
Dig it all
up. That's the thing about Reed. Reed, he just says, I'm not going to talk about it. That's how you know he's guilty, in my opinion, too. Like, you notice every single thing that he says afterwards. I'm just here to talk about golf. I'm here to win golf tournaments. And, you know, you can say, hey, man, this is another socially awkward guy who, you know, falls in love with this girl, and this girl has a complicated relationship with his parents, and, man, it's just kind of a bummer that, you know, it seems that she's kind of crazy. I'll tell you who I think's going to end up taking the brunt of most of this is her, is the wife.
Oh, no, she comes off as the crazy one.
And I think that's I think that's kind of how Team Reed's spinning this right now.
Okay. In September, you'll still pull for him when he puts the red, white, and blue on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Will she be out there in September after she takes the PR beating now for months?
Yeah, because you ever met a crazy girl that knows that she's the bad girl?
No, I've met a lot of crazy, but they all, as a rule, double and triple down.
I mean, that's also, holy hell, like, they are the classic example, and I can say this because I'm born and bred from redneck. They are redneck that just got tons and tons of money. Like, you look at the, like, there was a TV show with David Faraday where you go, like, the inside of their house, and you can just tell they're the people that go to a store and they think something's tasteful or classy just solely based on how much it costs.
Yeah, it was like a modern day almost Beverly Hillbillies. He has like this black and white checkered couch that you look at and go, what in the heck is that?
Now, you say, is her family redneck or his or both?
Both.
Okay.
They're both.
Yeah, I mean,
redneck.
He met her at Augusta College. I mean, let's.
Yeah.
That's the ULM of Augusta. You're damn right.
Yes, yes.
No, hey, no, no, let's not insult ULM like that.
I feel qualified to insult ULM.
but like, it's the same thing. It's like, that guy goes to Augusta State, wins them two national titles, and no one even wants to claim him.
Yeah. Should be the hero and a legend, and here we are.
Like, he does, I will say, like, on paper, this is a guy that I should love. He is the consummate, petty, chip-on-the-shoulder type guy. Like, he gets kicked out of Georgia, and the first thing he wants to do is go to a school where he can beat Georgia, and then he beats Georgia twice, and I believe once for a national title. Like, he is, like, there's so many things to like. But then, man, when you scratch the surface, I don't know. My whole deal with, I'm not, you know, when it comes to, like, judging the character of a man, I think it always comes down to, man, do you have integrity? And to me, it does not seem like Patrick Reed has integrity.
All right. Well, we'll stop with our golf for the day. We'll move on. Comes out.
We got to scrap on one more thing.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Who the hell dressed Justine that day?
Oh, she looked like Barney.
What'd she wear?
Patrick Reed's wife, as we were discussing.
I didn't see it. What'd she wear?
Hold on.
She had, like, paisley tights, and then, like, it was like she thought she was getting dressed for Easter Sunday and thought she, like, the best part is she thought she nailed it. And she looks like, she looks like a Picasso painting.
Do you guys realize I'm just now looking up pictures of her? I don't get it.
No, she's not hot enough to have this type of mind control over him.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, dude.
Oh, my God. What was she doing? Who dressed her?
It had to be the first guy. Pardon my French. It had to be the first girl.
Oh, God. I don't think we can say okay.
I'll bleep it out later.
Time out. Most of the time, okay, really forewarning, here comes stereotypes. Most of the time when you see a guy just completely go nuts and it's because of a woman, she's psycho, but from a purely visual standpoint, she's just smoking.
Yeah, you usually can go, she's not worth it, but I get it. Like, you can, and then you realize, like, if you're put in the same situation, you're with someone that hot, thou shalt not cast stones. In that situation, I will agree, thou shalt not cast stones.
Let's stay in golf. It's like Jason and Amanda Duffner.
Yeah, but even Duffner kicked her to the curb.
Yeah, but
Duffner's the one that forced her.
But my point is that this, I mean, doing the 1 to 10 thing, which is a horrible way to judge human beings, but judging her purely on looks, she's not even a 5.
No, she looks like, I don't know if they're, you just look at her and you go, oh, trailer park trash, but not even trailer park trash in, like, the good way. Like, for instance, look up Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss is this little, very similar type physique, everything, and she's in WWE, and she's got some trailer park in her, but you're fine with that trailer park.
Yeah, I did look her up just then, and now I'm looking up Amanda Duffner so that I can continue with the conversation. It's difficult to participate in a golf conversation with two people who spend as much time watching golf as the two of you when you are like me, but The points, thanks to Google and Google Images, I'm able to participate.
Yeah. And
you're right.
You can also search Amanda Boyd, as I think she's back going by her maiden name.
Okay. Yeah, she was not overly faithful to Jason and his in their marriage, and
they could have foreseen that from happening. Yeah. Who on God's green earth would have thought that Amanda Duffner would not take vows to the Lord seriously?
Okay. Chase asked a question yesterday, and I think it's a good one.
Okay.
All right.
How long, from a media standpoint, is the whole family situation a storyline? How long before the media goes, well, it just is what it is, and the public goes, it is what it is, we know who this guy is? Because I got to be honest, I know you guys are hardcore golf guys, and so y'all have known about him for a while. I've told you for a long time that I'm a great litmus test for golf. And I really am. For whatever reason, I am absolutely perfect as a litmus test for golf. I didn't know anything about this guy. I knew nothing. And so I'm just telling you, there are millions of people just like me who are like kind of digging into this guy a little bit this week.
Took a break in our talk with Jeffrey to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773, mastercutlawn.com. Temperatures are rising, but still a little while to get those annual contracts signed for the growing and spring and summer seasons. When you do that, pressure washing of driveway and sidewalks for free, or if you've got pressure washing job of over 2,000 square feet, $50 off. Again, 662-607-7773.
Jeffrey Wright and all guests join us on the Billy's Pecans hotline. At Billy's Pecans, they know the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, or tokens of goodwill for a referral from 5 to 5,000 orders. Billy's Pecans will handle it all with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern style, and with items at every price point you simply can't choose wrong. Try the assorted gift bags, the party trio, pecans and chocolate. There's all sorts of stuff. Those are great corporate gifts. But go to the site, billyspecans.com. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans and More, and it couldn't be any more satisfying. You can also give them a call, 1-800-624-7404. Hey, Ole Miss fans living in or moving to Dallas, if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metroplex, give Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's a call. A rebel by marriage, Lauren specializes in East Dallas and has a network that extends throughout the DFW Metroplex. Lauren loves cheering on the Rebs, and she would love to help Rebel fans in Dallas or moving to Dallas sell their home or find and buy their new one. Lauren is consistently ranked as a top agent producer, I should say, in D Magazine. She was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood East Dallas area. So whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in one of the hottest housing and job markets in the country, you need a realtor who knows the town, and that's Lauren. Give her a call, 469-867-1734, or go to her website, www.laurenandkelly.com. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, that kind of thing, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. Now back to Jeffrey Wright on the Oxford Exxon podcast. So at when he wins his next tournament, his next major, let's just say for kicks and giggles that he does, is this still this big of a story?
So the interesting thing with Reed is, as long as he keeps winning PGA Tour tournaments, and I think maybe what the casual golf fan doesn't realize is the PGA Tour doesn't have any vested interest in any of the four majors. So imagine a sport where the entire calendar is based upon four events that the PGA Tour has zero control over. So as long as he's winning PGA Tour events, I don't think it'll be that big of a deal, because the tour pretty much controls their own narrative. It's why most of the Dustin Johnson stuff is usually labeled as rumor. And, well, you can't prove it, because the PGA Tours, they realize they have a vested interest in making sure they present their guys in the best light as possible. I mean, you can't really argue with the strategy. You can argue about the integrity, the morality, or whatever. You can argue that, but you can't argue from a business perspective that doesn't make sense. So if he's just going off and winning, you know, one or two tournaments a year that, you know, he's winning the Valspar Championship every single year, you know, he's winning Wells Fargo, like, I don't think it's going to be that big a deal.
No, casual golf fan doesn't care about that tournament unless it's Tiger.
And the other flip side of it is you look at, okay, well, what's Patrick Reed's usually like, when is he at his best? And that's at the Ryder Cup, which is also run by the PGA of this. That one's more run by the PGA of America, but the tour has a very, very big presence on that as well.
And so the Ryder Cup, I think the narratives around him will be controlled pretty well. But if this guy becomes like a guy that wins, let's just say, you know, throughout his career wins, you know, five majors, and then this guy wins, you know, 25 tournaments, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I think it will be a lot like Vijay Singh, where you'll have heard some rumors and you'll hear, hey, there's a lot of people that aren't happy for this guy when he has all this success. And then about, you know, when he starts getting into his late 40s, I think you'll see more and more people dig into that as he kind of approaches that weird stage in your career where people are more or less celebrating your career. And then that's when you'll see people that maybe are jealous and envy that career and whatnot, they'll start really talking. And so then you'll start to get more and more negative stuff. But I think in general, man, like, you know, think about how long it was controlled for Tiger, and think about how much, like, and it wasn't even like Tiger wasn't even like hiding anything. Like, golf is very, very fascinating in that. Golf is a case study where I kind of get what football coaches envision, because if you do tell the story that you want to tell, not necessarily the true story, and that's only the story that gets out there, you know, the sky's the limit as in terms of what your reputation is, I guess.
There's been more movement in the basketball FBI situation, Kansas, North Carolina State involved.
A Mark Gottfried program?
Yeah, I know.
Had problems?
But here's my question. So, Neil, he's got a very strong opinion on this. I want to get your opinion, too. Just this is when they got it, or little conspiracy here,
Chase,
that they let the NCAA have their golden moment, and then suddenly now that one shining moment is done, here we go again.
Well, that was what I found interesting, because the first rumor that I kept hearing was that they were going to exploit one shining moment, and they were going to use one shining moment as their platform to kind of essentially make this get as ugly as possible.
That was the strong rumor inside the coaching business. And to prove that the rumor had legs, at least two of the programs that got, quote, exposed yesterday were two of the programs that I heard about months ago. And if I heard the word Adidas once from December through the 1st of March, I heard it 18 million times.
Yes, and I think I told Neil this. I can't remember if I've said this on this show, but I've got a buddy who's in coaching, and he would always tell me that, hey, man, if this thing ever gets exposed, it was always going to start with Adidas, and he said it was going to start with Adidas because Adidas was sloppy. And he said if it goes down, that'll be the first thing. And so, of course, when you kept hearing Adidas, you start going through the list. You're like, okay, well, they've already got Patino and Louisville, and you had to figure Kansas was next. But the thing that I thought was interesting was, and I get it, tell your side of the story, which kind of seems to be the theme of the day, the language was weird, in which it even looked like the FBI presented Kansas as, or maybe it said the University of Kansas is the victim. I guess that's a separate entity. But I found it weird, because that was a story that didn't, from what I read of the documents, like the first, you think about the very first releasing of everything, like those people came out against coaches and, you know, coaches were complicit and the bad guys. I didn't feel like yesterday's documents that were released, I didn't feel like they put culpability on the coaches as much. Certainly not as strongly as they did in the first release. And
kind of smacked of a deal had been cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, like maybe probably the FBI gets like really good seats to future Final Fours or something. I mean, it just, come on. A week after the championship game, you drop the bomb. Stop it. It's pathetic. I'm telling you, man, the NCAA is a different breed. Those cats that run that place in Indianapolis, those are not, those are cyborgs. Those are not normal people.
I don't know if it, like, yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that. I don't know if cyborgs, right? Because at least cyborgs are competent. Like, cyborgs are computer machine operated. Like, I would, at least you can get something done quickly and efficiently with a cyborg.
You understand what I'm saying? They're just robots. Those are not people with a heart and soul. Those are not people who understand the perception that has been given off. I hate to come across as the guy defending Ole Miss, because when I do that, I get hit from outside with "you're a fan" and all that crap that I think I've done a pretty good job of putting out who I am in 10 years. That being said, it's a really bad look for the NCAA 6 years after the Ole Miss investigation got started, and they're still sending out their lynchmen to put out hit pieces on Ole Miss. Meanwhile, you've got documented player procurement happening at $90,000, $40,000, major money compared to anything that's in the Ole Miss case.
Well, yeah, but didn't you see they formed a committee? They formed a committee that's going to clean this thing right up.
Right, right. They're going to clean it right up. Yep. They're going to clean it up. I mean, it's – you understand my point? I mean, I keep waiting.
I mean, I do.
I keep waiting for the NCAA to say – and this is where I would be team NCAA on the Ole Miss thing. If they would come out today and go, you know what, guys? You can't commit ACT fraud. Period. When you do ACT fraud, we're going to come after you. If they would do that, I'd be like, hey, man, I'm in. I'm good. I completely agree that when you bring kids from Florida and you put them in a place in Waynesboro, Mississippi, and you say, okay, question number 7, Antarctica is A, continent, B, piece of eggplant, C, you know what I mean? I'm like, cool. Okay, yeah. There has to be punishment for that. But when they come back and they hammer them for some of the stuff that they hammered them for, and I'm cool with that. You know, those are the rules. You broke the rules. You pay for breaking the rules. But then when you're not consistent with it, when you have this stuff with Auburn and now Kansas and all of these other programs, you have all this stuff where money clearly got siphoned to families so that a kid would go to a particular school. That's pay for play. That's the worst thing that the NCAA can find. The FBI has found it for them, and the NCAA's answer to this is basically nothing to see here. Nothing happened. We're not going to do anything. We'll contemplate down the road somewhere, perhaps forming a committee and maybe even a super committee.
No, it's not a committee. It's when they're really pissed, they form a commission.
And they might even form a super commission to really dig deep into this.
That'll get things done. Hey, now we're talking real change.
And you know what? And this is where when the ratings are down, everybody goes, well, it was because it was on cable. I don't know, man. The ratings are down because people might have said, you know what? This stuff is just, it's not even, it's not good. A, the product's not particularly good. And now, B, you find out that it's corrupt as hell. I just think people say, now I'll watch something different.
I think during the regular season, that's right, but the tournament still had 18 million brackets.
It did, but the ratings, the TV ratings, were not good.
I still think that's more cable than anything else. Anybody with a bracket or a bet's watching basketball, no matter how bad it is. Jeffrey can attest.
Yeah, because... like, you kept hearing, like, this was a great tournament. This was a great tournament. And I was trying to...
it had two good storylines.
Like, I was trying to catalog how many, like, games I would have set, like, qualified as a great game.
Not many.
And I was, like, stuck at about 5.
Yeah, not many. The tournament had two good storylines. It had a 16-1, and it had a little engine that could make it to the Final Four. Had two good storylines.
Yeah, and, like, and, I mean, I guess you kind of have to say, like, by all accounts, and you kind of look at who he recruits. By all accounts, John Beilein probably more than not does it the right way.
I think that's true. I think he's one of the more underrated coaches, and he seems like a really good guy. You know, it's obvious that the people at Villanova have said, "Hey, we should probably invest in basketball."
Well, there's no question. Like that is kind of like everyone's like, well, man, like, wow, Jay Wright really found the form. It's like, no, duh. He found five stars. He used to be doing it with an inferior kid. And I think Jay Wright is an amazing basketball coach.
Like, sure.
I used to think that he was a victim. He was a victim largely of his of how good of a coach he was, because he'd win all of these games with teams that weren't all necessarily that talented. And then, you know, he'd wind up being a two seed and he'd get beat, you know, either as a 15 or get beat by an 8 or a 9 or whatever.
It's all about 11. It's always been about players. Look at Billy Donovan at Florida. I mean, they won the national championship with Corey Brewer, still in the NBA. Al Horford, still an NBA All-Star. Joakim Noah, who is injured or otherwise, he would still be playing in the NBA. Maurice Spates, I think, is still in the NBA. Well, yeah, you give a coach four NBA players, he's probably going to be pretty good at the college level.
Well, it's the same. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's always, and I get it, there's always going to be hypocrisy in the world. Like, I understand that, but it's like, the thing that used to always drive me insane is this reverence for John Wooden. And John Wooden, you know, it's hilarious that the formula was still there even back in Wooden's days, where the same player getter, if you will, for John Wooden, everything is A-okay. Let's keep looking the other way. Nothing to see here. Let's just talk about what an amazing and moral human being John Wooden is. And isn't it great that he does it the right way? Oh, enter Larry Brown, who uses the same player getter, and now Larry Brown is, you know, NCAA target number one. And I've been told that when NCAA enforcement staff will give, like, presentations, one of their first examples of a truly immoral and horrible human being is Larry Brown. Like, I don't know how we've decided which characters get reverence and which characters we point the finger at, but that is that's always an interesting contrast to me.
Take one more quick break in our conversation with Jeffrey to take the podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com, and also located in Holly Springs, 662-252-2321. Give them a call, give them your doctor's name, and they will get the prescriptions ready and delivered wherever you are with great service. Also, when you go to the website, fill out the forms. Do it that way. Don't have to talk to anybody. And again, they deliver it to you, Tyson Drugs. Now also in Oxford with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, they deliver local and give you that same personal service.
The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. It will be football season before you know it. You want to get all your tailgating lined up so that the people at 7 South can take the work and the stress out of tailgating, and you can just enjoy your Saturday in the Grove. 7 South Tailgating is a premier service provider. It's owned and operated by two Ole Miss alums. They're in their 10th year of business. They understand the importance of a game day done right. 7 South is specialized to meet and exceed your exact needs in all areas of tailgating. Their desire, like I said, is to take the work and stress out of tailgating and to enrich your already wonderful Grove experience. If you've never tailgated with 7 South, try it once, and you'll never do it without them again. 7SouthTailgating.com, 662-321-1682. Make sure you tell Kyle and the people there at 7 South that you heard about it on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their site, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. Now back to Jeffrey Wright on the Oxford Exxon podcast. Last day of the NBA regular season. There's so much still on the line from a seeding standpoint. If you're one of these middle-of-the-pack Western Conference teams, Utah, San Antonio, New Orleans, Oklahoma City, the four that can move as high as 4, as low as 6 or 7 tonight. Who are you wanting to play in the first round?
I think you have to want to play Portland, right?
I think so. Do you want to play Portland or do you want to play Utah?
I changed my mind. Utah. You got to play Utah. Utah is, while Utah will play, Utah is very similar to the Grizzlies when the Grizzlies, the year Mark won Defensive Player of the Year. Like, you kind of look at, like, a lot of the defense where, you know, you and I used to always talk about how I don't, other than maybe outside of LeBron, I didn't know a team that asked a player to do more, particularly on one end of the floor, than the Grizzlies used to ask Mark, where basically the entire defense was designed to, like, funnel everything to Gasol to make plays, and he largely did for an entire season. They do pretty much, Utah does the same thing with Gobert, I feel like, but it just can't score. And even with Donovan Mitchell, like, I just, you know, when you're, I get it, players can improve, and I root for him, but this idea that all of a sudden Ricky Rubio has become a scoring necessity for Utah, I don't exactly want to be, if I'm Utah, I don't know if that's the reality that I want to deal with come playoff time, when the half court is pretty much where the game falls down into.
Philadelphia, how far can they go?
And what's the status of Embiid?
Oh, I think he's going to play.
Right, but I mean,
they've won a bunch in a row without him. They've won 15 games in a row. Ben Simmons has run away with Rookie of the Year in the last 15 games. Unbelievable.
Don't tell Donovan Mitchell that. I mean, that's the thing with the East. Like, I was thinking about this yesterday, but, like, to Boston is basically looking for anyone on the bench that says they're healthy enough to play. So I just have my fears on them. Toronto, I feel like Toronto is still, like, I know everyone says, hey, look at their defensive numbers, they're better this year, but it's like, when the reason why you win games is you can go 10 deep, everybody's bench shortens in the playoffs, and I don't know if they know who their 7 best players are, and I can see them struggling with combinations and struggling to figure it out. So I don't necessarily believe them. You've got LeBron talking about the importance of division championships. The East, I don't know. To me, the East is really boring right now because it just feels like inevitably LeBron's just going to win. Your answer to Philly is, look at most teams that do it their first go round, they don't have a lot of success.
What's interesting about Philly is that they're going to beat Milwaukee in the first round. That's going to put them against Boston / Miami, probably second round, which means probably Miami. I think Philly beats the Heat in a 7-game series, especially where they have home court. By the time they play Cleveland, it's where it will be interesting about Cleveland, because Cleveland's going to get Indiana in the first round. That'll go 5 games. Cleveland's going to get Toronto in the second round with the Raptors having home court. The Raptors might actually push them to 6 or 7 games. It won't be the typical rested Cavs, in my opinion, when they get Philly. And Philly's got the younger legs, and Philly will have home court.
Well, I mean, to further your point, LeBron's going to play all 82 games in the regular season.
Yeah, he hasn't been able to rest.
That's what I do think is interesting about this year is, you know, we always make the jokes, but for the most part, LeBron usually enters the playoffs pretty well rested. So the question is, at what point does he hit his wall?
That's kind of my point. And usually in the playoffs the last few years, they run through the first couple of rounds. And so he has his legs. And he's in the past, he's had Kyrie with him. They don't have the young team they've had in the past. I guess I'm of the opinion they're more susceptible.
But I do like when they go small. When they go small with Love at the 5, I think they put a lot of pressure on you. The problem is, they, like, if you want to use the old man yelling at clouds take that, you know, they don't play defense, your example should be Cleveland, because Cleveland legitimately doesn't play defense.
But when they do, they're really good. They're kind of like they're like half the league. I mean, there's a league full of teams that coast into the playoffs. The Warriors are as guilty of it this year as ever before, as any team ever before. They're going to hit the button this week. But
I mean, I think I agree with you. But if Steph Curry's not healthy, like we've seen that matter. Like I don't know. I guess for me, I don't know. Maybe if it was because I was involved in trying to cover teams that should be losing games and whatnot. Like, this season has, while there's been some interesting stories, like, Houston is a fascinating story to me. Like, can, like, is that team good enough to actually not only dethrone the Warriors, but I mean, that would mean more or less winning a title. Like, the East is so watered down to me that I find it incredibly boring. Like, I don't know. I just feel like this year I have, even I've gotten to the point, someone who likes the NBA, where the most interesting thing was like who's going to finish between 3 and 9 in the West. And in general, 3 and 9 from the West is probably not going to even factor into this entire thing. So I don't know. It felt very inevitable to me, and I haven't had the interest level coming into playoff time that I normally do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Here's the thing that's interesting. Like last night, Luke Mbamute dislocates his shoulder. He's on the floor in a game against the Lakers in game 81 is or 82 for them is beyond me. When you had nothing to win and nothing to lose other than to lose players, I do wonder does isolation ball work for them? And they're a team that in the second round, they're probably looking at Portland or Oklahoma City. Teams that are perfectly capable of beating them in a series.
I mean, what's the last real example of more or less, you know, four out isolation ball that has worked in the playoffs?
I don't know. I can't think of one.
Really ever.
It doesn't work unless you have multiple shooters and unless you really defend, and they do really defend, except if Mbamute is out, that's the loss of an elite defender.
Like, I mean, I guess you could kind of say that Sixers team with Iverson, it worked, but Iverson was an elite slasher, and it wasn't like they were just playing pure isolation ball.
I'm cynical about it, and then I look at Golden State. If I'm Golden State, who am I cheering for tonight? Because I'm going to get the loser of Spurs-Pelicans. I think if I'm Golden State, I want the Spurs. I don't want to have to deal with Anthony Davis.
Well, I agreed on that. Agreed on Anthony Davis. But more importantly, I don't see how in any world where Kawhi Leonard, even if he does play, I can't see where he's effective. And that team,
no.
Then what are you worried about? Rudy Gay? I mean, well, I don't know. Like, to me, like, well, Marcus Aldridge, like, are you really that?
Well, LA's had a great year, but he's not the guy that terrifies you the way that Anthony Davis does. Anthony Davis can beat you by himself. Anthony Davis is – I can't believe I'm saying this because we're having this NBA MVP debate right now where everyone's talking about Harden and LeBron. And right now Anthony Davis might be the most underrated player in the NBA, which is insane because he might be the best player.
Well, and then on top of that, what if Russ grabs 16 rebounds today – for the second consecutive year, a guy's going to average a triple-double. And I feel like that entire fact, like that used to be the grounds for his, like last year even, that was the grounds for his MVP campaign. And then this year, it's like, it's not even mentioned.
Did you see Bill Simmons? Did you see Bill Simmons double down on that? Bill Simmons is so, he's so up Kevin Durant's in his jock that he simply cannot be objective about anything involving Russell Westbrook. I mean, it's I don't understand it. It's bizarre how he turns that into – does he chase rebounds? Yeah, he chases rebounds. But all you have to do is just watch five games. And you're Bill Simmons. You're a national reporter. You should watch some games.
He watches every game. He gets Durant on his podcast, so he keeps kissing Durant's tail. This isn't complicated.
But if you watch five Thunder games, you understand that part of their
– But that's my point. He knows that. He doesn't care. That's not what he's doing,
though. Part of their offense is – clear out, let Westbrook get the rebound. You can avoid the outlet. You can go fast. The advantage to having Russell Westbrook on your team is in the fast break, there aren't three people in the NBA who can guard him.
No, and then the weird ironic part is, like, Simmons is also the guy that, like, wants Westbrook to play more hero ball. Like, I don't – Simmons –
He's searching because he's lost his relevance, his niche.
And the only time he ever matters is when he does an interview with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
This has been Russell Westbrook's best season as a pro. I feel like I can say that with authority. I watch all of his games. The only thing he's done poorly is he hasn't shot the free throw as well. But in terms of running the offense, distributing, all of those things, he's never done it better. He's deferred more this year than he ever has in the past. You can tell he's the leader of that team by the things that he says, by the things that other people say. He and Steven Adams have the most two-way assist in the league. I don't think Westbrook deserves to be the MVP. Don't get me wrong. I would vote for James Harden, and I wouldn't even think about it. But the whole he's chasing rebounds is just it's such a sloppy, lazy narrative that it really bothers me.
Well, I guarantee it's something that Durant has said in passing to Simmons, and Simmons just runs with it. I don't know. To me, this is what I am curious about. Why are the Thunder – I don't know if inconsistent is the word, but I guess it is. Like, you know, everyone keeps going, if they just put it together, they put it together, they put it together. Well, it's like, well, we're game 82 now, and we've never seen it been put together. Like, we've
had flashes. Not for long stretches, yeah.
What is, in your opinion, what has been, is it just eventually everyone, when Melo gets on the floor, they can expose him defensively? Is it the loss of Roberson? Yeah. I mean, I guess the way I would phrase it is if Roberson doesn't get hurt, would they have been more consistent? Would they have figured it out? Because
they were locked
Thunder
in.
To me are a very fascinating team. Because I actually thought that was going to be a team that could be a legitimate spoiler, and now I don't have any faith in them at all.
No, I don't either. You had Roberson. Look, when Roberson went down, even though they started 8-12, when Roberson went down, they were fifth in the NBA in net defense, and they were eighth in net offense, and both of those numbers were going up. They were on their way to being an elite team. He took a lot of pressure off Paul George. He let Paul George defend, who's a legitimate all-NBA first-team defense player. He let Paul George defend the second-best wing player. He took a lot of pressure off Carmelo on the defensive end because you watch the NBA. No team has five great defenders. But when the Thunder had Roberson – Yeah, I mean, when the Thunder had Roberson, George, and Adams on the
five great defenders.
Yeah, when they had Roberson, George, and Adams on the floor together, and you know, when Westbrook wants to be a good defender in stretches, he's an elite defender. Now, on the whole, he's an average defender at best. But for spurts, he can be an elite defender. For spurts, he can be he can be an awful
athlete.
Defender.
He's arguably the best athlete in his position.
Yeah, so there were times where you could hide Carmelo. Teams, when they're that many good defensive players in a 24-second shot clock, it's hard to seek out the weakness, put it in a pick and roll, and pick it apart. With Roberson off the floor, they're like 14th or 15th in net defense. They've gone down to like 12th in offense. They're just not the same team. And then, but their big thing is that their inconsistency is very simple. And if you'll notice that you see it in box scores. On games where Paul George shoots with any degree of efficiency, they look very good. And on games where Paul George can't make a bucket, their numbers are awful.
So it turns out you'd have to still say Russ is the most important offensive player, but it turns out when you're most important scoring threat doesn't score, it turns out that you struggle to win games?
Yeah, it's really that simple. I mean, when Russell's been consistent for several years.
If only I would have played basketball. Damn.
I saw the Redbirds, Jeffrey. I know you got to go in a second. I saw the Redbirds charged a penny for tickets last night. Is that right?
So that was a promotion right after he got hired. I think those tickets sold out in like 10 minutes. So the Bluff, there were, I don't know the exact numbers, but there were Bluff seats, which is like the grassy hill.
Gotcha.
Like that was available out there. And then like some outfield, like essentially like standing room only seats were available for a penny.
I was up there last week. Why didn't they change the logo? I don't like the new logo for the Redbirds.
They wanted it to feel more like Beale Street.
Okay. Less like Cardinals, more like Beale Street.
I will give the Redbirds credit. They get like from a team that at one point like experienced being the only real professional team in the city. Ever since they've been bought by this actual group that owns minor league franchises, like they get it. They run a lot of promotions. You know, there's lots of they're great like beer nights. If you're that guy, then there's also like they'll do family nights. Like they understand you got to get people in the building, and they really work hard to get people in the building because at the end of the day, it's a Triple A baseball team. Like that team ends up winning their league, but you know, if a tree falls, of course.
Right. Who's on the show today?
So today, I'll be hosting Hasseltine from 2 to 4. Make sure you tune in. We'll have Mike Norvell on at 2:25. And then I have no idea. I'm so like up to my neck in what I'm actually supposed to be doing. I know Coach Norvell's on the show, if you will. Coach will be on the show.
Good luck booking. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks to Jeffrey for his extended amount of time this morning. I will tell you quickly, the podcast is also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market and also a leader in condo financing and the float down option. You can reach Jason Lowe at JLOWE at communitymtg.com or 662-234-2704. As far as predictions for the postseason, the series loss didn't impact Ole Miss a whole lot. Baseball America came out with their field of 64 for the week. This morning, Ole Miss, the number 6 national seed, paired with Louisville. Baseball America getting cute there. South Alabama and Jackson State in the regional would be Dan McDonald coming back to a town. And then let's see, who's the who's on the other side of the bracket? Let's see. That would be a 6-11 matchup in the deal, and it would be Bloomington, Indiana on the other side. That's got Indiana, Kentucky, Creighton, and Wright State on that side. So if it did come to fruition, which it's not, Louisville, South Alabama would be a pretty difficult region for the Rebels. But nonetheless, Baseball America, when you can get some conversations, some clicks, and bring some former coaches back to town, I don't blame them. I do it, too, every single week. If I could match that puppy up with Mississippi State or LSU, I'd do that, too. We'd have as much fun as possible with those projections.
If you're not trolling with your projections, you're not projecting properly.
No.
Sorry, but you're not. Especially this early in the year when there's no way in hell that you have any clue what's really going to happen, and you have to do those because the editors say, hey, do some projections. Those get clicks.
Okay.
You troll.
Yeah. Where are coaches now that were at former places?
Yes.
Find that list. Keep it out. Put it in your desk drawer.
Because what is Mike Bianco's absolute nightmare scenario?
Is Dan McDonald winning a regional in Oxford.
Yes. It's Louisville coming here as the 2.
There might be. He could be the number 1 national seed, and then that happened, and you'd probably get a groan from him in the Diamond Club when it happened.
Oh, it'd probably be. Yeah. And if you could be inside his stomach at that moment, you'd go, woof, be this massive fall.
So, anyway.
So, yes, if I'm doing Baseball America or whoever and I'm putting projections together, I'm sending Louisville to Oxford.
Yeah. So, all right. We will. It was a nice night for the SEC, all the other places. I saw Georgia beat Clemson. There was some good wins other than Auburn losing to somebody. I think they might have been the only SEC team to lose. last night. Their star is falling a bit on days that Casey Mize is not on the mound for the Tigers.
It was predictable.
Yeah, not unexpected there.
We saw that coming.
Yeah, so anyway, all right, back tomorrow, another show. Appreciate Jeffrey. Talk to you then.